Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Stupid song.
Hey, welcome back.
Hey, we're back. Hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects. Let me say one last thing about this OBJ thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was given you just keep eating.
This cookie is so good.
Yeah, I gave mine away.
Mm. What?
I want to give John Dorsey credit for all that he's done. Let me remind you guys of one reason why he should get more. Of the top teams in the AFC, we said there are two teams above his Browns, according to Vegas, favored to win the AFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them he built.
The Chiefs.
He built the Chiefs, too, for the most part. So you talk about what Dorsey's been able to do. You had a franchise that was the laughingstock of football. You had a general manager that came from baseball. You had that GM did not complete a trade for A.J. McCarron because he didn't get the facts machine and get the facts in time. He got let go. Dorsey got brought in. He brings in his staff. And in a year's time, not only did he get that franchise its first win, remember now, they were talking about, hey, everybody gets free beer when they get their first win because they thought it was going to be such a big deal and it was such a struggle. Not only did he get his first win, he had him competing for a playoff spot. He got his draft picks right. He now has done all of this, and he almost did most of the dirty work to build the Chiefs. That dude, he knows what he's doing.
It appears as though he does. I mean, he took a franchise that's been the laughingstock of sports, not just the NFL, but sports.
That's correct.
And has made them in one year's time, has completely turned it around.
And his assistant,
he seems to be pushing all the right buttons, making all the right moves. Look, the coaching moves that he made was the right moves.
His consultant Rick Smith helped a lot too, but that was before he even got hired.
What?
When he pulled the Brock Osweiler trade off and did all the things so that they could get rid of their garbage, those picks helped out because that got you Denzel Ward last year.
Mm-hmm.
On top of Baker Mayfield.
You said somebody mentioned that DK Metcalf?
Someone on the text line actually said, if the Giants draft DK Metcalf, they win the trade. I disagree. And I'm the first person to say, I don't follow the Giants that closely. And I know what kind of talent OBJ is. But when I look at OBJ, do I think that he is in the top two in terms of receiver yards per game since he came into the league? Do I think that, you know, because I know that he's had issues and other things, but he and Julio Jones, their numbers are, say they're the top two in average yards per game. He's got unbelievable hands, as we know. And yeah, he's had some issues with the kicking net and, you know, doing interviews at the wrong time, saying the wrong things about players on his team. But the bottom line is you can't take away what he does on the field.
I don't think you can say that it's a definitive win for the Giants because you don't know how Metcalf is going to turn out overall. But I tell you what, if they do get Haskins, and the Bills made some moves for some receivers. They brought in Beasley.
Yeah.
They went out there. The other one they got, John Brown.
John Brown.
Yeah, they made some moves. They got some receiver. So there was, I saw, I think Zerline had it where they were probably going to get DK Metcalf with that ninth pick in the draft, but now maybe not. So you could realistically, Metcalf could fall to the 17th pick. So now you're talking about Saquon Barkley, Haskins, or one of the top three quarterbacks in this draft, and DK Metcalf as your big three heading into, with a line that we talked about already, it's decent.
Okay, but here's I'm not going to say he's got a hit on him too, because there's knocks on Haskins.
Oh, of course there is. There was knocks on Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
There's been knocks on Kyler Murray. So.
But the thing is, Mayfield's proven it. You got to make sure that these guys step up and prove it. OBJ was a proven commodity. And the other thing that bothers me is exactly what you said. I didn't realize that he didn't get separate picks for each trade. The fact that
they
the
reverted back.
Revert back.
Well, but they kept the pick they would have traded.
Even still, Essentially you gave up your best defensive player and arguably your best offensive player along with Barkley. You gave up your two best players on either side of the football for a first, a third, and Peppers and a lineman.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to give him a passing grade on all of this.
I don't think they won the trade either, but I'm just saying I don't think it's as bad as people think when you're rebuilding.
That's the other
because
thing,
because they got
he
younger.
Hasn't been willing to admit, and the whole city hasn't been willing to admit they
but
are.
But they are. I mean, it doesn't matter
if
whether
rebuilding,
he
rebuilding. They should just cut their losses with Eli.
But it doesn't matter if you're rebuilding. Why? You keep sucking, you get draft picks. That's how you rebuild.
You're gonna take a $5 million cap hit. He has sucked.
Dude, they don't care about the cap. When you suck, when you're rebuilding, you don't care about the cap. You're not like, oh, well, we've got to manage this because we've got to be able to win the next. There, trust me, I don't care if anyone wants to admit it. You can clearly see they're rebuilding.
Yeah, they are for sure.
So they, you know, Collins is out, and then they go out and they get Peppers. Now they just got the same. They got the same kind of safety, but they got younger doing it, and it was cheaper. So I think they're. I'm not suggesting that they're going to be the Browns who have turned, but they're doing some smart things. They're not winning the trades, but they're doing the right things as far as a rebuild.
That's
goes.
The thing. If you're winning the trades, that rebuild's going to go a lot quicker.
But you only win trades with stars. You get stars. That's how you win trades. You trade a star for a star, or you mop up with five first rounders or whatever. No, nobody's going to give you multiple first rounders.
You don't know that. The thing is, a year ago they were talking about OBJ for two first round picks, but no one believed that he was willing to get rid of him. So now he makes this trade, and for all intents and purposes, he didn't shop him around. He didn't. Go team or
you don't know that though. You don't know that.
According to NFL Network last night, this thing came about so quickly, and the only way the discussion started was because of the Olivier Vernon trade. But that they said that no other team in the league really had any indication that they were serious about doing it.
That's just that doesn't mean it didn't happen. They just don't know. Okay. They don't have a source that tells them that. That doesn't mean that other teams didn't call and talk about that.
The way the word gets out around the league. Look, we found out from yesterday.
But we find out later about a lot of things. Like, we find out about Bryce Harper after the fact. We find out about certain trades that didn't happen.
So I hope we find out after the fact here.
Well, I'm just saying, we don't know yet.
Right.
Maybe they did shop it around. Maybe this was the best offer for Odell Beckham Jr. And it could have just been very casual conversations at winter meetings. Or it could have been anything. Or not winter meetings, but what the hell I'm talking about.
The combine and
It could have just been two dudes sitting in a chair. Hey, look, I'm thinking about actually doing this. Would you be interested? I mean, I'll give you a second and two thirds. Nah, I mean, you don't know.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just playing counterpoint to your point because of the fact that I really believe he should have gotten a lot more for what he gave up.
Okay,
so all right, let's get some of these calls. Steelers fan Juan has been waiting. Shockingly, he wants to talk about inside that division, the Cleveland Browns weapons. What's up, Juan?
Well, first of all, if you know anybody in Denver, you should probably check up on them. It's pretty bad out here.
Is it any worse than here? Can't be.
Yeah. Secondly, I guess I'm going to have to keep my eye on the Browns, but with Baker Mayfield likely to have a sophomore slump since now that he's got a year in and teams are going to pick up on his tendencies, do you have any faith in the coaching staff or in the organization overall, as you were saying earlier? First that question.
I absolutely have told you what I think of John Dorsey. I think if one thing you know about Freddie Kitchens is the fact that he's an offensive guru. He knows how to use the weapons that he has. And as Barry pointed out when we were talking about all the weapons that they have, if Baker's a little bit off, you got running backs that you can go to. You got a tight end you can dump it down to. And when you have two receivers that good, you can't double them both. I think he'll find a way to make sure that that offense clicks.
I do too. I agree with you.
What else you got?
Okay, so, and then with the Steelers, I guess I'm going to have to take a year off because basically right now I don't have any faith in them really making the playoffs, not even getting close. Where is their first? Is there a need to pick up for the draft? Do we need somebody, or should we just pick up the best player on the board in the first round?
Appreciate the call, Juan. Couple things. I think you've got to look at replacing some of the offense that you've lost. Now, you do have Juju Smith-Schuster. You do have James Conner, who was, you know,
you need a tight end because you lost your tight end, Jesse James.
You need a tight end. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Juan, but the Steelers are a year or two away from having to rebuild too, possibly.
If they aren't already. They'll sign Big Ben. And like you said, and they've got a guy, one receiver and one running back you can count on. But overall, that defense wasn't anything stellar a year ago, with the exception, you know, obviously JJ's little brother played well.
Yeah.
They had some guys. But overall, you know, they weren't the Steelers that you and I thought they were going to be.
No, they need a lot of help on defense. Yeah. And, you know, if you, I mean, outside of the touchdowns, Juju Smith-Schuster outperformed Antonio Brown in every other statistical category. But he just wasn't the go-to within the red zone and for touchdowns. And James Conner, he's not going to be Le'Veon Bell, but he held his own. So if you believe in that offense and you still think that they're viable, I think it makes sense to go heavy in a heavy defensive draft to go heavy defense. So they could use a lot of help defensively.
And in terms of Denver Steelers fan, Juan, I think he's referring to a blizzard that's going on in Denver right now where thousands have lost power. That's what he's referring to.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. I know you didn't get it when he was referring to it, but I think they called it a bomb cyclone. I think it's just a blizzard,
what,
but Denver Post called it a bomb cyclone. That's what he's referring to. It's pretty bad in Denver.
Yeah, Colorado's had a lot of snow. So,
also, yeah, they're,
and we're supposed to be getting a deluge of rain between now and like 7 o'clock.
Here in Dallas.
I thought he meant because they lost Bradley Roby, who's such a champion.
Boy, that guy can play. That was the guy we should have said, hey, what's Denver? What else are they saying in Denver about Bradley Roby today, other than the fact that he hit the jackpot?
Bye.
Yeah, see ya, and unbelievable tweeting that he hit the jackpot.
Tweeting out pictures of burnt toast with number 29 on it, which is Roby's number. That's not a good sign when you're a Texans fan. You look on Twitter, and that's the first thing you see. Wah, wah,
wah. So there you have that. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects as we do songs about drinking in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Great topic.
Songs about drinking for the fourth time in a year or so. As we continue to roll, it's The Usual Suspect. It is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Hour number 2, 3-hour show, ESPN 97.5. What is going on in there?
What are you laughing about, Nick? No, I want to know.
Yeah, you come back with a cackle in our ear.
Dude, we come back from break. We come back from break, and you're laughing at a text you get. We don't even know what you're talking about sometimes. Right? Facts?
Answer the question. What are you laughing about?
I can't reveal that information, sir. It would be unprofessional. On air. I can reveal it to you, but not on air.
Very well, then. So we'll continue to roll. Busy hour number one. Again, thanks to the 610 and Shepherd Chick-fil-A who supplied us with nourishment and goodies and all kinds of stuff.
Shout out to Jennifer for bringing it all by.
Yep.
And the lemonade.
She seemed genuine when she said that we could reach out anytime.
And she's a loyal listener.
Big fan of the show.
That's always an added plus.
So I got a text.
Yes.
From Nick.
Uh-oh.
And this was on...
Which Nick? You're not talking about...
Nick Sciarra?
Yeah, I'm talking about you, bro.
Oh, I thought you meant like from the text line. I don't know. You say Nick. Sometimes it's suspect. That's all.
I got a text on Saturday, and I wasn't going to do
this. So this is a Way Back Wednesday theme.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but since he wants to be a jerk about things, I thought I would just read this text. I'm sitting at home, minding my own business. It's Saturday at 2 p.m.
Okay.
2 p.m. in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And this is the text, 3 in a row, that I get. Okay? Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yep.
There's a strain called penis envy. They say the super potent version is the albino penis envy. That's text one. Well, God bless it. I want all the penis I can eat. That's text two, followed by ha 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 ha, tripping balls. That's what on earth was your Saturday?
There's something called bro code.
What?
That you don't know nothing about. Like, you know nothing about bro code and what you can't and can't say on the air. You just don't. You just never know. You never understand that dynamic.
Like,
you never
get
it.
Like a friend's dog that's.
Oh, man.
See?
You said you were going to tweet it out.
I'm talking to Dole Blank. How you doing?
Hi, Dole. You said you were going to tweet it out. Oh,
this is what you get, though. See, you start on me. And you expect me not to retaliate.
It's the same.
This is what happens.
I know. You spreading rumors. That's what happens.
You didn't text me that?
No. Did not text you that.
You know I can just screenshot.
Now everybody. I know. Don't do that.
You're not going to just like.
Were you just not yourself that day, Nick? I'll leave it that way.
There was an influence.
Okay.
Of sorts.
Yeah, I can't tell you the first part of the text. It would make it all make more sense. But that is what I'm getting from our Nicholas.
Thanks
Saturday.
For telling the city of Houston and especially the 409 that I'm an absolute drug addict. Thank you. I really
appreciate that. My favorite part is I want all the penis I can eat. That was my favorite part of your text charade there, your little tirade.
Are you sure that's the same Nick? Nick who? Do you have me listed as Nick Sharara?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I don't think you do.
No, I totally do. What does that say there, Joseph?
He can't see.
Yeah. Says Nick Sharara. Right at the top.
What does that middle text say? Does that say all the penis I can eat? Does that say that right there?
With emphasis of using a GD, it does.
Yep.
I love Nick to death, but.
I drove home yesterday saying, me wishing death on Barry driving to San Antonio, that's not nice.
And you wonder why I do these things.
Now I really hope you die on the way to San Antonio.
Yeah, okay, well, the feeling's mutual on your way to Dallas. In fact, I hope the thunderstorm...
Easy now.
Are you on the plane?
Oh, he's on the same plane, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're wishing death on both of us.
Yeah.
Kind of like Fred, that. What? And AJ.
Yeah, tell me
the
when you get to the...
usual suspect, like Joel said in the other segment.
I was going to say, tell me when you get to the bad part. You, Nick, Fred, and AJ, let me know when you get to the bad part about that plane going down. Lance, no, I wouldn't do that. No way would I wish death on Lance or Charlie Polillo.
See what you did there.
I already know what 2019 is going to look like. It's just going to be a year full of me and Joel just absolutely aggravating you and getting underneath your skin.
Hey, by Nick, the way, it starts tomorrow and for two straight days.
Yeah, buddy.
By the way, did you hear Polillo today taking shots at Joel?
Did he tell him to go F himself again? Please tell me. You guys got to record this.
On air. Something came up about Twitter, and he was like, how do you do it, Joel? He goes, not that I really follow anybody. And look, Joel Blank, I just threw him a bone.
So I walked in today, and I threw the studio door open during the break. I go, you flipping me a bone? He's like, it was just about Twitter flowers. And I was like, okay, well, then I'm fine with that.
Oh, that was so funny, though. I was like, poor Charlie. He's just out here shooting shots. He has no idea.
Well, poor Charlie is the guy that was so professional and was taking shots from every show on this radio station. And now he's finally responded.
Who takes shots
everybody,
at Charlie?
Everybody. You.
Who?
Joel, you two are notorious. I'm sure Fred and AJ have.
Oh, no.
Don't act like Granado hasn't.
And don't you try and be innocent.
And don't act like Granado's innocent.
Because I wasn't even here the day y'all found out what size shoe he wore. And you wore that out.
That was the best day.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. That's Joel that always makes fun of Charlie. I have came on and said I respect Charlie Polillo. I've been a listener of his since the 90s.
But you throw jabs.
That's how you set the table to then start throwing your dart.
I didn't make his feet. That's See? Not my
no,
fault.
No, no, no. I don't blame any of us.
And that was AJ.
No,
that was
Charlie's
totally
fault.
AJ.
He revealed his shoe size. That's his fault.
But AJ's the one. We happened to be doing the show that day, and AJ's the one that kept bringing it up and ran with it, as you know.
Well, because he texted his wife. Asking her, like, what his 10-year-old or 9-year-old son's shoe size. And it was literally like
seven.
It was like one or two sizes off. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know. I love Charlie. Unlike Joel, I don't hate him. So
he knows I don't hate him because we're friends.
Yeah, because he's the only person in Gallo Media that he follows.
I love that Nick actually got one person to text his show. Not cool, Barry. You don't put stuff out like that out there. That's so awesome. A couple more texts from the text line. Hey, guys, I'm sorry you've already discussed this, but do we have to go to the same location where we weighed in to weigh out? No.
Nope.
Any of the man centers, or you can come up to the studio here and weigh out, but just make sure you get it done before Friday, yes. 5 p.m.
All we ask you to do is do it before Friday so that so you're eligible for the prizes. You can still weigh out, but after Friday at 5, all bets are off. You don't win any prizes if you were eligible simply because you didn't weigh in time.
Right. What is the over-under that Barry's fat ass has a heart attack before 50? And then that person followed up with another text. Always eating or talking about food, LOLO. Thank you, grown man, for your text, including LOLO.
Lolo.
Appreciate you sending LOLs. Yeah. Appreciate that. And, crazy me for always eating. That's so fat crazy. Ass. That's so crazy that people eat
fat
food.
Boy.
Isn't that weird that people eat food?
Okay. I know you are, but one of mine.
Jesus.
It's the best time to do it because he's aggravated with the
listener. Now I hope I die. I really do. I would love to die right now.
Well, that's three of
Please.
Us. We always talk take a boat on this show. That's three of us.
I vote me die too. God.
We're all in. It's going to be a hell of a rest of the week. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Culture Map Tastemaker Awards event is coming soon, March 27th. Get tickets today for the annual celebration of Houston's restaurant and bar community. Your ticket includes food, drinks, and free valet. Go to houston.culturemaptastemakers.com. That's houston.culturemaptastemakers.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books. 90 still to go. The big show on a way back Wednesday. Songs about drinking in honor of St. Paddy's Day for 2009 and beyond, or I should say before.
Yes.
The three of us on duty here for the final time this week. Barry off to the Alamo City.
River City. Is it River City or Alamo City?
I think it's both.
Because I know like one of the clubs was called the River City Comedy Club.
But they're River Walk, right?
No, but it's called the River City.
I thought Cincinnati was the River City.
I'm just telling you, there was a comedy club that has since shut down that was called the River City Comedy Club in San Antonio on the river.
You're going to San Antonio. We're going to Dallas.
Yeah.
So we're
going
to be...
Nick's
going to
be all up in the Big D, happy as he can be.
Radio Row
and
for the rest of the week. Getting ready for the big show.
I get to do two shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two shows sitting in your seat.
Yeah.
And every time I take a shot at you, I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to hold back.
Oh, trust me.
I hope you tune in.
Are you kidding me?
One to four.
Why would I do that?
To hear the greatness.
To hear subpar?
To hear
this half of the desk be reduced?
Damn.
No.
Damn, reduced? Damn. Yeah. You're going to go with the word reduced.
Somebody said, hey, guys, Tim Tebow just got sent back to the minors. Do you think it's time for him to give up at 31? I don't know. I don't think so.
Here's the thing about Tim Tebow, all right? Regardless of whether you like him or you don't, he's making money. LeBron's got this new deal where it's like LeBron's the executive producer, and it's like you're running through the city of Los Angeles being chased by, I guess, Olympic athletes or whatever.
Okay.
Guess who the host is?
Oh, really?
Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, who still's on the SEC network. Tim Tebow, who's still used on ESPN. Tim Tebow, who's also still playing minor league baseball in the Mets organization, making money. Don't be mad at Tim Tebow for making a buck. I mean, he's grinding, and he's making money in a lot of different ways. Got married.
Yeah.
Ended one streak there, so, you know.
Yeah,
he's
good for
doing
him.
All right.
You're 31. You got all the money in the world. You got no cares. You're still in good physical shape. Why would you give up on your dream?
Right. Don't
give
up on your dream. People can hate on you, but they can hate all they want while you hate right to the bank.
That's right. I would not give up on that dream if that was my dream to play baseball. I wouldn't give up on it. No way.
And say what you will, he may be the greatest college football player of all time.
Yep. A lot of people make that argument.
Think about that. Over, when you talk over about VY. Wins, national championships, Heisman Trophy.
Numbers, stats. A lot of people make that
stats
argument.
And numbers. When you look at it all, and I know that's one of those ones where it kind of catches you a little bit, and you go, what? When you look at it, and you look at the numbers and the accomplishments, he's up there.
No.
Barry had the same reaction when Jerome was filling in for you, Joel, and I said the exact same thing. No I said, way. You could make the argument that Tim Tebow is the best college football player ever.
Absolutely.
You can make the there's a lot of people that, there's a lot of college football experts that would make that argument.
Mm-mm. And the fact that nowadays, if you're really good in college, you're not staying 4 years anyway. You're getting on out and getting your money. Tebow stayed for 4 years. He was prolific in wins. He had all the accomplishments. He won, I believe, multiple national championships. So it's, I mean,
dude,
come at me, bro.
Right away, my first thought is Bo Jackson.
I don't remember what his college football career.
How many national championships
career
did Bo Jackson win? Zero.
Herschel Walker.
Maybe one.
Barry Sanders.
Zero national championships.
VY.
All those guys you can make an argument for, just like Tim Tebow. Like all those guys.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I would love to see what his numbers were statistically. Because, yeah, he won championships, but there's a lot more than just Tim Tebow on that team. Those Florida teams had a lot of talent around Tim
Tebow.
I'm looking at a top 50 list. You got Barry Sanders at 5, Jim Thorpe at 6, Tony Dorsett at 7.
No, go backwards. You're going the wrong way.
I know.
You're going the wrong way.
I know that. 9 at Roger Staubach, 10 Bo Jackson, 11 Tim Tebow.
They have 11.
So Tebow is 11.
Who's one?
One would be, just 1 second, is Herschel Walker. So, I mean, you could, like I said, you could. I didn't say he was the best college football player of all time. All I can say is you can make an argument.
I didn't say you can make an argument. You could say he's up. He could be considered that.
Okay, I will agree with you on that.
He played a role in the Gators. This is according to Bleacher Report. Okay, he played a role in the Gators championship season during his freshman season in 2006. He followed that up as the first sophomore to win a Heisman Trophy. He never picked up a second Heisman, but he was always in the running and also led Florida to a 2008 BCS championship.
Where did he end all-time passing yards?
In college?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. 88 touchdown passes, 57 touchdown runs.
Yeah, the rushing stuff was big.
He was only intercepted 15 times in 4 years. That's an 4 years, he only got intercepted 15 times.
How many pass attempts, though?
I mean, I would imagine a lot if he played four full years.
I don't think that's the case. I don't know. I think that was not a pass heavy offense with Tim Tebow.
It really
No, you might be right because he said he has 57 touchdown runs. So you actually have a case there.
He actually had stats running the football parallel to a lot of running backs, but also was the quarterback that. And you're right.
And that's the nature of college football. You know,
yeah, they weren't big time West Coast offense throwing the football. But when you talk about touchdowns, when you talk about combined yards from scrimmage, and then you talk about all the other accomplishments, I really believe he's in the
discussion. In the mix at the very minimum. I mean, look, John Elway's up there. Earl
Tebow
Campbell is another one.
171 in passing yards, ranked 171 all time. And passing
That's
yards.
A lot of college football quarterbacks, though.
Ahead of him.
No, but you're talking about compared to NFL quarterbacks. I mean, there's a lot of college football quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, to say that he was better than...
I'm saying 171 of a bigger pool of quarterbacks.
You can say that there were a lot of garbage teams that had quarterbacks that just slung it around, too. So I'm talking about the whole body of work. Yards.
Baker Mayfield is seventh all time.
Where's yards from scrimmage?
I'll have to Google that.
Okay. Guards from scrimmage, touchdowns, things like that. I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot of people that will put him up there in terms of his college career. But he's making money regardless. And the whole Mets thing, I give him credit because he got a lot farther than I thought he was going to get. He got invited to Major League Camp this year.
Since 1956, Donnell Pumphrey, 7,444 yards from scrimmage. That's what it says.
That's number one?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's number one. I just want to know where he ranks. You just had all the ranking and
he's
passing
not in
yards.
The top 250. I don't know how that's possible.
There's a lot of variables, too, because you got to consider the passing game now in college football as opposed to when Tim Tebow was playing, as opposed to, you know, other quarterbacks were playing. The game is different.
So they have, like, Rondane is second. Ricky Williams is third. Tony Dorsett is fourth. D'Angelo Williams is sixth. Charles White is five. So
that's
I don't,
total yards from scrimmage?
Yeah, but those are all running backs. So right. I don't know that it's taking into account quarterbacks.
So you don't think – I mean, I think he's in the mix. Maybe – so you don't think he's in the mix. And that's fine. Not everybody's going to believe in that. I just think when you consider everything that he's done in four full seasons as a quarterback, that's the reason why I would put him in the mix too. And the 57 touchdown rounds, despite it being more of a run-heavy type of offense, I still think that's impressive. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find his yard from scrimmage.
By the way, on River City, there is no official River City in the United States. In Texas, it is San Antonio, but it's also the Alamo City, just to clear that up.
Okay.
Not that I care about much more.
Thank you for clearing that up.
But geographically, because you know we have to get the cities straight, I did that for you. Now you're going to find your way to San Antonio tonight. So
yes.
And then Nick's going to have you killed.
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me if he did. I'm not going to lie. If one day I end up dead, everyone can...
Better check your fluids and the air in your tires, sir.
Start your search with Nick, Nora. That's where you want to go. That's probably the culprit if I end up dead.
Absolutely. All right, so Rockets tonight, looking for 10 in a row. That's a big one.
I hate Durant, I'm going to miss this.
We're going to miss it. We're going to be on traveling, too, yeah. So I'm going to have to try and catch most of it at the airport. But the fact of the matter is Durant's not playing for Golden State. Now, everybody could probably say, oh, great, big. Rockets going to win again. But the bottom line is you got to remember, Rockets are 3-0 against the Warriors. They did get one of those wins without James Harden. So there's a reason why people are always slobbering all over the Warriors because they get five All-Stars in the starting lineup, and this team was pretty damn good without Kevin Durant. So yeah. He's not going to play, but everybody else is going to play for Golden State. So that'll be interesting to see. Thank God, by the way, overnight, they got a deal done with Daniel House.
Yeah, that was big news.
He got converted yesterday,
right?
You
kind of knew that was going to happen, though, right? Yeah, like, they waited to the last second?
And here's the thing. They played chicken. We all know, for one reason or another, I don't think Daryl and the organization was very happy that they got pushback when they thought that they were going to offer House an NBA deal, but it was going to be heavily favored in the team's direction. With less than 20 games to go in the regular season, the rest of this regular season, a deal, whether it's guaranteed or not, doesn't matter because he's eligible for the playoffs and they have the spot on the roster. He's going to be fine for the rest of this season. And then from there, if the agent's right, they go out and explore the market.
Yeah.
And he's going to get some guaranteed money, and he's probably going to get more than the bare minimum. And if the Rockets want, they can match it or make him an offer too.
Well, and yeah, and they get a little bit deeper. They get a little bit younger. They get some fresh legs.
I like it.
I did too.
I mean, when we talked about what this team had as a bench going into the season and where they are right now, it's night and day.
Oh, it's night and day. And I'm not shocked it took this long because we know, you know, I'm not trying to speak bad on the Rockets, but they do have a history of not bidding against themselves. We talked about them doing that against Clint Capela. That's probably perhaps one of the reasons or a contributing factor to the reason why they didn't convert Daniel House, you know, quicker than they perhaps should have. Because I know a lot of people wanted to see him on the floor.
Sure.
But there's a business side, and that business side is called negotiation, and it sucks.
Breaking news real quick from Mac Daddy. Okay. It says, breaking news, check your travel plans. FAA is grounding the 737 MAX aircraft due to recent crashes from Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines.
Yeah, it's a big airline.
I don't know what you guys are flying on.
We're not. It's an hour flight. The MAX planes are those big planes for long trips.
Oh, okay.
He's really taking all these death wishes on him by me pretty to heart. He really wants us to die on this plane, Joel.
No, that was a tweet from Mac Daddy. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
You thought it.
You were tagged on it too, dummy.
I don't see it.
Well, open your Twitters.
Hey, and by the way,
it's right there.
Thicker glasses.
How about you stop dreaming about penis and read your Twitter account?
Boy, that hit below the belt in more ways than one. When you talk about that, Nick, and you talk about the business side, there's also a business side that says don't mess with the owner of the Rockets either.
Oh?
Because there's a guy on Twitter that calls himself @HoopsCritic. His name is Brian Geltzeiler.
Oh, yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, he used to be on, I think,
he's the one who broke LeBron news. Okay. And everybody was hating on him.
So he tweets out this morning, hearing from league sources that the Houston Rockets owner, Tillman Fertitta, is feverishly cutting costs in all facets of the Rockets operation. All departments have been instructed to drastically slash their budgets. People are going crazy. They're sending me text messages this morning. Can you verify this? Is this true? I didn't have to because Tillman Fertitta responded to Brian's tweet and said, You're an absolute fraud. Show me one item or person that has been touched. The end. Wow. I added the end, but that was fantastic.
Wow.
That is well done by Mr. Fertitta. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're going to take a quick break, but we got a whole lot more coming up. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, you can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hold on.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
If you're not drunk, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to get drunked up.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of hour number two, but it is a three-hour show, so we still have more than an hour to go. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel, way back Wednesday time right here on The Usual Suspects.
You're damn right it is. A couple of texts from the text line. If the Texans sign another corner and a couple of linemen, would this free agent consider to be a good start to this offseason? Yeah. It depends on the corner, though. If they go out and get another...
of the player, period. We talked about the fact. You could say that and go, hey, guess what? They lost some guys, but they signed a safety and they signed a corner. But the quality of those two players matters as much as the quantity of those players.
Go get Williams from the Panthers.
Yeah.
Go get Darby from the Eagles.
Darby or Callahan from the Bears.
You do that. If you did two of those three, and obviously you're not going to go with both Callahan and Darby. But go get either Callahan or Darby and Williams, and I'm a happy, happy man. I said it yesterday. If they did that, I think that turns it around because then these first two signings were depth. And now you go out and you make your big splashes. But they've got to do something, I feel like. I know this team is a loyal... the city is loyal to a fault almost when it comes to football. Remember, though, this is also a city where the Oilers decided that they weren't getting the support that they wanted and they moved. And if the Texans continue to not make splashes like they have been... They're going to turn a lot of fans off.
So here's the question I was going to ask you, though, because you said that. Are the fans waiting for a big splash?
Yes.
Or are they waiting for just
stop right
waves,
there.
Splashes that no. come in waves stop that fill right there. Holes?
The fans and the fans in just about every city want a big name. Sure. And Houston is no different. You know, they want to know that their team is in it to win it, and they'll do whatever it takes. And they want big, and whether that's the right move or not. But is anybody in Cleveland mad because they think they're overspending? Hell no. Is anybody in New York mad because they went out and spent the money and got Le'Veon Bell for the Jets? No.
But I think as a city, if they're thinking that way, you know that the Texans are that team that's going to be hypersensitive and picky and do all these different things.
That's my point.
But I think
you're going to lose
got
the city.
Spoiled on the flip side because Les Alexander went out and got you Pippen and Barkley
Less
and
was always spent money.
Spending money yep. and willing to take that chance because he wasn't just in search of division championships. He was in search of world championships. And I think they got spoiled by that. And now you take it since Drayton left and since Jim Crane came in and you went and you got Verlander. You got that big name. You went and traded for Garrett Cole. You made the moves necessary and you got that championship. So when you look at the football team, you think, why aren't they doing what the other two teams are doing? Why aren't you making the splash that our other two teams did? And oh, by the way, they were handsomely rewarded with titles.
Yeah, and don't tell me that you don't have the money, because that's not true.
Obviously, the cap don't lie. We saw who the top five teams in the league were.
And they were one of them. Yep. And you had money to go out and make some moves. And I think the fans... Obviously, the skill positions are where the sexy players are at.
Sure.
But most of the fans in this town are pretty educated when it comes to football, or at least they have the internet and can Google names and look them up. And when they realize that you're signing guys that can make a material difference on that offensive line or in the secondary, they're going to get hyped about that. But fans can also look up, you know, Roby and be like, oh, okay. This meant nothing. Bishop, okay. I mean, like, or Gibson, I should say. these you have to make a move to show that you are in it. And I heard Fred and AJ talking about this yesterday, and I love that they were arguing about it. But I don't know who it was, but one of them said something that really resonated with me, and I think really tells you where this team is at. I don't remember who it was, but one of them said, it makes you feel like the Texans think they're close already. And if that is true, and I thought, ooh, that's a great point, that maybe they don't feel like they need to go out and make a bunch of moves and get a bunch of impact players because they have all that already.
I can guarantee you that feeling has happened before on this team. I can guarantee
that they're close.
No, well, yeah. they have this feeling that they don't feel like they should make all the moves that the fan base wants them to make. And so they make this decision to not make the sexy, sexy pick or the sexy pickup.
I don't know. I just, that resonated with me. I felt like, you know what, they might be onto something there, because that unless they do surprise us today or later in this week and go out and get some of these big names defensively or on the offensive line that we're talking about, because they're running out of time too.
Well, and that's
a lot of the big
too.
Names are getting snatched up.
You also can't press the panic button. So, you know, we talked about this yesterday. You also tweeted about this. Whether they didn't plan on losing both guys, Kareem and the Honey Badger, okay? But they did, all right? But then you don't have to knee-jerk it and go, you know what? 1 year, $10 million, Roby, got to have him. You know, there's still plenty of options out there. We just named you two that we both feel are better options that you probably could have got at a better price based on how many years you gave them, and you're not going to have these guys just for 1 year and let them walk anyway. So that's the other. That's one thing. The other thing is then with the draft, you have to, if you're going to try and make a splash in the draft, it's going to be very difficult. Where you're drafting, what picks you have, and the fact that with your needs, you're going to be drafting guys that most fans are going to go, eh, well, prove it. Show me that you can block. Show me that you can pass block and you can run block, right? Mm-hmm. So the splash and the sexiness is in free agency. And take it from someone who knows, who lived through a general manager that just did not believe in free agency. It is painful because you see your team from a different perspective. And obviously, maybe you see it different than your general manager, because maybe you're right. Maybe he thinks they're closer than we do. But we watch this team on a daily basis. And you look at it and tell me, they aren't close to the Patriots.
No.
They've proven that when they played them.
They got trounced by the Colts.
Yeah, they got beaten in their own division, right? So with that being said, too, you know, with the money that you had and the fact that whether you think you're close or not, reality says you've got moves to be made. You've got to make a difference. Last year didn't work out so well with all those guys that were just supposed to be stopgaps. You know, hopefully they're going to take a big jump up. Instead, you had a horse crap offensive line and your secondary was old and just, and it got worse. Now.
Yeah.
You're not going to improve that in the draft. Not the secondary, is what I mean.
Yeah. I think even if you did, you know, Texans fans are always going to get excited about names in the first round and potential and stuff like that. But part of this is a, like, you have to do this both ways. You have to hit on your draft picks. And this is a franchise that has, we've bagged on Rick Smith a lot. We talk about how bad Rick Smith was, but this is a franchise that has gotten some pretty good players. J.J. Watt, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. You went out and got Deshaun Watson. So you got to give them credit sometimes, but they're notoriously bad about drafting overall.
Right.
So you've got to start hitting on some of those, and you've got to go out and get free agents. I mean, this isn't just a one-dimensional thing. You can't just, because drafting is so risky. There's not a lot of surefire that guy's going to be a Hall of Famer picks. I mean, sure, they didn't even think that with J.J. Watt. They got lucky with J.J. Watt.
Well, Wade wanted J.J. Because Wade was able to, they
did
gave
Wade know
the
that J.J. was a two-year defensive player of the year caliber player?
No,
or was
no
he
one.
Really good?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But that's where, when you look at the draft, if it's not just going to be all about you, your staff has to be phenomenal.
Well, what I'm saying is, I mean, the point I was trying to make is, you have to do well in the draft and you have to make sure you hit on those, but you have to complement that with free agents
Absolutely.
That are established. And you can't just do one half of it. Because then you're always rebuilding, because the lower you pick, the less likely of a star power is going to be.
Yeah, unless you're the Patriots and you can afford to miss and you can add value at the end of drafts,
You're
absolutely right. You've got to hit it in both.
Got to do both, and they're not doing. They're only doing one part of it, and they haven't really been good at that one part.
Right, and the other thing is, as much as you give him credit for getting Deshaun Watson, the road that he took to get him cost him the draft picks that could have been what you're saying when you use both means to get better as a team.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got 2 hours in the books. That means we still got 1 hour to go with the big show. 60 minutes on the clock coming up next. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
sheets. It was this letter I read. If you like pina coladas.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.